Welcome to Product Brand Management, Chapter 17. This chapter will look at brands in the Indian perspective. The objective of this chapter is to trace the brief history of brands in India and to understand brands from the Indian perspective. What we'll really try to do is understand what India is like as a brand, what has been the development of brands in India ever since brands first came into existence in India, and then more recently through liberalization, how the story of brands in India has developed. India is a brand itself, with so many brands having made its mark here, some Indian and some foreign, of course. But India itself is a brand. India stands for some very specific characteristics in the minds of people all over the world. But times have changed, brands have changed, the consumers have changed, strategies have changed, and all of this has happened because India as a country has evolved. India as a country has changed. We have to look at it from the point of view of when the freedom struggle was still on. That is when the Swadeshi brands came into existence. Now, this was a time when the British, who were ruling India, had a very specific economic agenda. India, which was pre-British rule, a primary exporter of finished goods, during the British rule actually became an exporter of raw material, which placed us at the bottom of the value chain as far as the export business was concerned. So what the British did was they took raw materials from India and they actually produced them and sold them under British brands back to the Indians. And this is how they basically exploited all the raw material manufacturers in India, got them to the bottom of the value chain, and then exploited the Indians for money because those products were now government led. So over a period of time, as the freedom struggle got more momentum, people at the highest levels of the freedom struggle also realized that this was actually a very, very bad economic policy for India, and the economic impact on the base Indian was amazingly bad. This is why Mahatma Gandhi and a few other people decided that all foreign brands should be boycotted, and this is how the Swadeshi brand movement really came into being. There was a boycott resolution that was passed, the pledge was taken to boycott all foreign goods, and the seeds were actually sown of the Swadeshi movement. The resolution included boycotting foreign cloth, salt, sugar, government schools and colleges, government services, and even government titles. So all these things were told to be completely boycotted by Indians, and this led to the foundation for the establishment of Swadeshi textile mills, Indian-led soap and match factories, tanneries for leather, banks, insurance companies, and shops. Therefore, happened the entry of Indian brands made in India for Indians, like Ratnam Pens, for instance, or Swadeshi Tea, or Socio, which was a soft drink brand. Swadeshi movement had a terrible impact on actual foreign brands. Now, other than this, other Indian brands are also launched, which are still actually, some of them are still in existence. Narasu's Coffee, for instance, a very south-centric brand, coffee brand, so this is still in existence. Madras Rubber Tires, Laundry Soap, the Laundry Soap Sunlight. Now, all these brands are still, a lot of them are still in existence, but a lot of them actually came into existence because of the Swadeshi movement, because the upper echelons of the freedom movement were actually encouraging people to boycott foreign goods. So a lot of foreign goods were boycotted, Indian goods started becoming more and more popular within India. Fortunately or unfortunately, this process continued even after we got independence, which is why the economy remained closed for a very long time. So it was only much later that Indians realized that we need to actually open up to multinationals. But even before that, even as far back as the 70s, there were some multinationals present in India, but the government of that time decided to put such stringent regulations on them that they decided not to do any more business in India, and Indian brands were given a push. Overall, as the economy started declining in the late 80s and early 90s, that is when liberalization happened and India was actually opened up to multinationals. Now at this time, the government actually opened up our markets for global competition. Brands like Kellogg's entered the Indian market. Nike entered the Indian market, Coca-Cola entered the Indian market again, advertising agencies like DYNR at the time, JWT, channels like MTV, Star, all these channels, all these companies, all these brands actually came to India only after India opened up to multinationals. Before that, it was only Indian brands that were sold, and that was because of the seeds of Swadeshi movement that was sown way back during a freedom struggle. Now, since these brands have already entered India in the 90s, the question in front of them was, how do you actually target the Indian market? Because Indian market was very different from any of the other markets that they were present in earlier, or their home markets, for instance. So how to maximize potential of brands in India? Because the Indian market is very different. There are multiple targets, multiple markets, for instance. Every single region in India is a complete market on its own. India is said to be an amalgamation of cultures and an amalgamation of countries rather than just one main country. There are so many languages, people dress differently, speak differently, eat differently, they write differently, they understand different languages. India as a country is so diverse, with so many dialects, so many deities, so many differences, that it is very difficult to target India as a country. The level of homogeneity in India is very, very low. This was one of the major challenges in front of brands that came from the foreign lands into India, and they realized that the Indian market is not the same as their home markets. So what they needed to do really was have an Indian heart while actually trying to promote their goods. They tried to strengthen their distribution network. They also tried to adopt localized business models, because a lot of business models that work in the West may or may not work for the Indian market. And they had to display commitment to the country. So one of the major examples of this was car companies. So if a multinational car company came into India, its commitment was first tested. An Indian buyer, an Indian car buyer, is very, very stringent about certain things. The car, of course, has to be within a certain budget, it has to give a certain amount of economy, it has to have certain features. One of the major important things is it has to have after sales service and resale value. Resale value will not come unless there is good after-sales service available, and unless there are good, there's a good parts market, after-sales parts market available, or even a third-party part market available. Now, if that is not there, the car in India, the car brand in India will not work. Which is why, for any foreign brand to actually launch cars in India, it became imperative to build a large service network, which is how a lot of investment first came into India. Because any brand, not just car manufacturers, now I'm talking about manufacturers in general, almost any company across any sector, if they wanted to open an office in India, if they wanted to have a distribution network in India, if they wanted to ensure that Indian buyers are actually buying their goods, then they needed to have a great after sales market as well, after sales network as well, dealer networks, of course. And that is how a lot of investment came into India. So let's look at an illustrative scorecard of how you actually win in India. You have to ensure top leadership support and commitment through cycles. So through your ups and downs as a company, even if your company is not doing very well, you still have to ensure that there is leadership support and there is commitment to the country. If the commitment is not there, consumers of this country are so discerning that they will actually look at the company and say, they are not going to stay in India for long. I'm not sure how my goods will be serviced after I buy them, so let me not buy them at all. So that kind of consumer behavior, which is very unique to Indians actually, led to a lot of multinational companies to rethink their strategies. So they could have launched in other countries with far, far smaller service networks, but for India, they had to have big service networks. The offerings had to customize to suit Indian markets and customer needs. We spoke about the McDonald's example, where they came into India with a vegetarian menu, Mekalu Tikki burgers, and all of that happened because Indian needs were not satisfied by just the current offering of McDonald's, which was also offered in the US, for instance, or the rest of the world. For instance, McDonald's India does not offer beef. It's a big problem in India if you offer beef as a restaurant or a QSR. you can be mired in controversies because there's a whole section of society that does not like it. There are religious sentiments that can get hurt, which is why you have to ensure that when you're doing something, when you're launching in India, you have to look at the local market, you have to look at local sentiments, and then customize your offering accordingly. You have to create innovative and localized business models, because the way businesses work in India versus the way businesses work anywhere else in the world is just not the same. The individuals who are doing business with you, the traders, the wholesalers, the distributor people, they don't work in the same way as do people in other countries, which is why sometimes your business models have to change. The timelines that you take for your service delivery or your product delivery, those have to change. You have to look at the fact that there's local infrastructure, which is very different from infrastructure in other countries. In a lot of countries, highways are built over a period of decades to ensure easy transportation of goods all around the country. In fact, for the USA, they actually say that America didn't build the roads. The roads built America. Now, because they have such a fantastic system of roads all over the country, goods, transporting goods from one part of the country to the other part is not difficult at all. You can actually travel a distance of thousands of miles in very little time. In India, on the other hand, with such a large and diverse country, because our highway system has not been very well developed traditionally, transportation of goods from one place to another becomes a problem. There's law and order problems in some areas. So all those things really make a difference when you're trying to build a business model or a supply chain or a distribution chain. It is not easy to just get up and say, I will do business in India. You actually have to understand the demographic. You have to understand the country, its problems, its uniquenesses, its advantages. To understand the consumers, you have to understand each member of your entire supply chain, distribution chain, sales chain. Only then will you be able to actually say, fine, I can do this kind of business in India. Finally, you scale up through deals and partnerships. Doing business locally in India also means that you generally partner with a big company that already exists in India. So a lot of foreign brands, for instance, tie up with companies like Raymond, like Tata's, like Birla's, like Godrej, for instance, to ensure that they can piggyback on their local companies' networks. For a long time, for instance, Fiat used the Tata dealerships and the Tata service networks for its own service. So the Tata service people were actually trained in Fiat service as well. And this gave Fiat a great entry into India, because the Tata service network was huge. So it gave it a great entry into India, and it actually encouraged people to buy Fiat cars, because now they had some sort of comfort saying that, yes, we know that Fiat is an Italian company, it's come into India, it has tried twice before, but now it has a partnership with Tata's. Now they're not going anywhere. Now there's commitment and there's a partnership with a company we all trust. So there's a distribution network, there's an after-sales service network, everything is great. That is how Fiat, actually in its third innings in India now, is a viable car manufacturer. Let's look at some other factors of actually winning in India. And so you can leverage India for global products, services, and talent. A lot of companies have actually realized this, especially in the outsourcing world or the software world or the BPO world. Companies have come in and formed big offices in India with staff of over 1,000 people, 1,500 people. What they've tried to do is ensure that these people are actually doing work, doing project work for clients in the West. The clients in the West have enough money to give these companies to have a certain system running. The same office, if you just shift it to the UK or the USA, it would cost the companies four times as much. But in India, it costs a little less. So what they do is they leverage the Indian strength of relatively cheaper labor for global products and services, because there is talent, there is education, there's a large base of English-speaking population. Then, of course, you have to manage your perceptions and regulations, and you have to empower local organizations. You have to offer a compelling people proposition. That is how you can actually take a foreign brand come into India and make a success out of it. So let's try and summarize this chapter. India is a brand in itself. Brands that were actually born to fight British imperialism and started the whole Swadeshi movement, and the others of course meant pure business. So the Swadeshi movement actually had a terrible impact on foreign brands in India. And it's not just Indian or foreign brand, it's about how Indian a brand is, which is why, which is the whole winning the Indian market in illustrative scorecard. I mean, your brand has to have an Indian heart. You have to localize to a very great extent. You have to understand the local business well. India opened up to MNCs and Indian markets for global opened up to global competition. Brands in India can actually maximize themselves, maximize their potential in India by multiple targets, multiple markets, having an Indian heart, which is very, very important, strengthening the distribution network in India, adopt localized business models, and display commitment to the country. If all these factors are taken into account, because all these factors are taken into account, a lot of multinational brands have survived the test of time in India. They've been in India since 91-92, and now we are in 2016-17, and these brands have survived, thrived, grown over a period of the last 25 years. And they will continue to survive and grow if they follow these basic mantras. So this was the chapter on the brand perspective in India. Thank you.